So, are we still ready to go or not?
Yeah, we're ready.
Ready to go, man.
Let us pray, let us pray.
It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Hello.
Hello. Rick Spain says hello. Didn't quite get the stop button hit. Good morning. This is the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt. Sitting in the driver's seat this morning, Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, doing her jig as she often does. And Lee Schrader is our guest today. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Neva.
It's so good to have you. You better get your microphone if you're going to speak to me.
Good morning, Neva.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I can hear you, but, you know.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send it to our Facebook page, or you can send it to Neva, no. Oh, yeah, hourofpower32@gmail.com. I must be a little windblown this morning. I blew the brains right out of my head today. We also have a way that you can send prayer requests, which is to 580-485-0837. And you can also send it to, put it right on our Facebook page. Did I say that already? I'm sorry. Boy, it's been one of those days. Today is Thursday, and it's kind of unusual to have Lee here on a Thursday, but we had a change of plans, and so Melanie switched with him. And so our Facebook sponsor today is Rick Spain Construction. I might have stumbled through everything. Will you please pray to start us out?
I'm over here fumbling around. Okay, got an experiment going on here. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together. And as I always like to do, I like to pray one of Paul's prayers, usually in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're just going to do that again, Monica. And that is this. Paul says that, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and every name that's named in this world and that which is to come. So, Father, what that means is, and this is what you're conveying to us, is that the Holy Spirit is producing revelation. Revelation as I speak and I hear the Holy Spirit, and revelation to everybody hearing right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bear with me. My experiment's not working. So I do this. Here we go. Bell. Okay, see, what's going on here is I'm recording this myself, too. Are you going to point that thing at me? Or just wondered. Okay.
Well, sometimes she leaves it on both of us, so it doesn't look like it's coming to you.
Oh.
See?
Oh, I'm sorry. So is it still on both of us?
No, it's just on you now.
No, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Anyway, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. A little froggy this morning, but that's okay. So, wow. There's no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death and condemnation that comes with it. So there. All right. Let's move on. So my experiment is, and the reason I wanted, I was hoping on that, when the iPad was pointed this way, that can they see my pulpit, my podium here, and all that business? That's important, because I'm going to talk about it. Okay, now you can go back to your regular view. But anyway, so I have half pulpit will travel, okay? And this is the second time of being here that I've utilized this method, and this actually, it's the top of a pulpit that was made for me by a friend, Bill Wallace, 1973, five, maybe six, I don't know, a long time ago. And the bottom part is gone. My son appropriated it for the lumber, and it's cedar. It's beautiful. But no way I was letting them have this. So a lot of times I use this when I pray, and I put my stuff out here. But I thought, you know, I think I'll just try this at the rockchristianmusic.com, Hour of Power, see how it works. And so now it's Have Pulpit Will Travel. And if where I got that from is, and we talked about this last time, is when I was a boy, one of the popular TV shows was my favorite. Mm-hmm. Was with Richard Boone, and he was Paladin, Have Gun, Will Travel. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, that Christmas of 1959, that was my big gift that I got. I got the hat and the pants and the guns and the little cards and the vest and shirt and everything, you know, and I was just real proud of that. But now it's Have Pulpit, Will Travel. So now we're shooting down the enemy, and we're preaching the Word of God. And so the experiment was trying to figure out how to use this and be able to talk in the microphone without having to lean over it over here. So I thought, well, I'll just extend the mic stand and put it up here, but it wobbles. Mm-hmm. So I'll just hold it. But anyway, but today is May 12th, Thursday, May 12th, 2022. And normally I would be here tomorrow on May 13th on Friday, but I've got somewhere I've got to be tomorrow out of town. I'm going to Channing, Texas. Anyway, if you don't know where that is, it's about 60 miles now north of Amarillo. But so thank you to Melanie Randall, who is gracious enough to switch with me. And I appreciate that, Melanie, very much. She's a good teacher of the Word, a great teacher of the Word. She's my sister in the Lord, and I love her. And in fact, the last time I saw her was in Walmart. We ended up talking like an hour. They're in the in the pots and pans aisle. But anyway, so let's move on. I want to talk to you today about redemption facts. And I'm just going to read the Bible to you and make some comments about what I'm going to read to you. But I'm going to read to you some facts. And there are four facts that I've written down, and I'm going to read those facts to you, and then I'm going to go back to number one, because there's no way we're going to have time to get through the whole thing. We know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. I never do get finished.
That's right.
Okay? So, but here, there are four redemption facts that every believer must know and meditate on and dwell on and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. And it's part of finding out who you are in Christ, or the proper way that people say is finding your identity in Christ, okay? But anyway, let me just read these four facts to you. Number one, the Father, that's a Heavenly Father, has no favorites. He has no favorites. Every person born into His family has the same redemption, rights, privileges, and status. We've all got it. We've all got the same. Okay? The second one is humanity has been redeemed out of the hand of their enemy. Satan has been conquered for us personally. So what God did in Christ, He did it for you. He did it for me. For instance, we know in Romans 6, the sixth chapter says that I am crucified with Christ. Okay, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth that I should not serve sin. And it goes on to talk about how we're buried with Him and died with Him and raised with Him. And Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So everything that God did in Christ was not for His benefit. He didn't need it. He's God. But He did it for our benefit so that we could be sons of God. Now, the reason we say sons of God, and women can say that, you know, we don't have to qualify it as daughters of God, you know, because the Bible says, and if we get this far, we'll read it in Ephesians chapter 2, that He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and there's neither male nor female, bond nor Scythian or Jew nor Greek. Black or white or Hispanic or Asian or anything. It's all one man in Christ. The way God sees us is you're either in Adam, lost in your sin, and have spiritual death, and your nature is of the devil because your father is the devil. Jesus said so in John chapter 8, verse 44, talking to the Pharisees, Monica. I love this setup. This is great. This is great. He said, you're of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, and the lust of him you will do, okay? Or He sees you as in Christ, united to Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, to be joined into the Lord is to be one spirit with Him. We're joined into Him, born again. Jesus said and to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't even participate in the things of God unless you're born again. And he goes on to equate that with the rest of John chapter 3, that being born again is being saved. So being saved is just not being rescued from the penalty of the sin, but it's also to be born again. And as it says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth forever. Born again. Changed on the inside, Monica. I mean, you may look sort of like you looked when you got saved, but you don't look like that on the inside. And there are times when I would go to churches and preach, and I would take a jump drive in so they could put it up on the overhead screen, and I would put the picture of me of what I looked like, my Texas driver's license when I was 19 years old. Long hair, beard, scraggly, glazy eyes, okay? And I'd put that up there, and what I would do, and I'd say, put up the photo. And I'd do it, and people would gasp because I look like Jesus in the photo, okay? People often say that. But I'm not Jesus. I'm born of God. I'm connected to him. But anyway, so. But, and then they go, oh. And then I'd say, okay, take it away. And then I'd say, that's what I look like July 11th, 1974. That's what I look like. And I said, I'll put it up there again. And I'd put it up there again, and I said, that's what I look like July 12th, 1974, when I was born again. I looked the same on the outside, but there was a change inside. Same house, but different person living in it. Different person. Galatians 2:20 says this, says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Why does he say that? Well, we know that crucifixion brings death. That was the whole point of the crucifixion when the Romans used to do that to criminals. And that's why they did it to Jesus, was to kill him. Okay? Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. His body lie in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. Dead. Lifeless. He wasn't in there. Okay? But anyway. But the whole idea of crucifixion was to kill someone. Well, but Paul says, but nevertheless, I live. What do you mean you live, Paul? He says, well, the life I live in the flesh, remember what I told you about the example, how I looked on July 11th, 1974, and how I looked on July 12th, 1974, and the house was the same, but a different person had moved in? Well, Paul says, nevertheless, I live, yet the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And my favorite rendering of that from another so-called translation is in the Distilled Bible, and it says it like this. It says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. So, humanity has been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy because Satan has been conquered for us personally. So, to be born again, and there's more we can go with that, but I've got to move on, is to be born again is to be separated from the devil, separated from Satan, and he no longer has authority and influence over you. He just does not. If he has influences, because you allow him. Gonna step on some toes and kill a sacred cow. Here we go, Neva. Get ready. And take this in the spirit of what I'm saying this right now. But it's said all the time, here and everywhere, especially because these so-called hard times we're going through and so-called end times that we're going through. Little editorial comment right there. And everybody says, well, God's in control. Okay. He's only in control as much as you let him be in control. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You know, that works for everybody personally, and because it works for everybody personally, it works for everybody corporately. We as the church. He's only in control of what we let him be in control of. Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Somebody just said, well, is that in the Bible? You bet it is. I always pray this verse, use this verse when we pray during the intermission. Jesus said, this came off the lips of Jesus. Now, Neva, Jesus never sinned. We know that he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. He's the Son of God. He's God. Mm-hmm. He never makes mistakes. So everything he said, it wasn't like, well, maybe this is true. Mm-hmm. You know, this might be right. No, he said this in Matthew 18:18. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Therefore, I say unto you, or two or three are agree, where two or three will gather together and agree as touching anything in earth, it shall be granted for them to them of my Father which is in heaven. So if you and I, if the three of us, and we're going to do this during intermission, okay, because there will be some prayer requests come in, and we're going to do this, okay, and we're going to pray and agree that those people are going to be healed, that they're going to be delivered, that they're going to have peace, that God's going to answer their request. It's up to us. Well, I thought I'd just say that. Anyway, so let's move on here. Number three. Drink coffee here. Thank you. You know I was going to eventually hit it. Neva moved the microphone stand away from me. She takes care of me.
I try, but it's a big job.
Thank you. Like, I don't dare be 4 seconds late. I'm either getting a phone call or text, where are you? Anyway, but I know because Neva loves me, but she also loves this ministry, and she's concerned. Lee, you better be here anyway, and I will be. I've never not showed up.
That is exactly right. One time your pickup wouldn't start, and I came and got you.
Had to come get me.
But you got here.
I got here. We ended up having a good morning. We preached the word, and then afterwards we went over to one of your rent houses. Says, well, I've given you a ride home. Let's go run an errand. So we went over to her. I did something for you. Anyway, it was fun. It's a good memory. Number three, we can say this. This is the third fact of our redemption. He was delivered up on account of our trespasses and was raised for our justification. And I'll go ahead now. I'm not going to get this far, but I'll give you my scripture references for that. And for those of you taking notes this morning, that would be validated in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22, Romans 4, 23 through 25, Ephesians 2, 1 through 22, Romans 5, 5 through 11, and Romans 8, 32 through 39. But what all those verses validate is this fact of our redemption, that we can say he was delivered up on account of our trespasses and he was raised for our justification. Meaning, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made the sinless one into our sin that we could be made the righteousness of Christ, or the righteousness of God in Christ, or be filled with the goodness of God, as it says in the Living Bible. Okay? So that's what it means. He died as our substitute. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for the three of us in this room. He did it for everybody listening now and in the future when you're going to listen. And he did it for all of humanity, from Adam, as I always say, to the person who has the notoriety of being the last person to be born upon this earth. There's somebody that's actually going to can say, well, I'm the last person born. Anyway, they're not going to know that. But and number four is this. We can confidently say, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the remission of our trespasses. Your sin debt has been paid. You don't owe God anything. Well, you don't, Monica. You don't owe a thing. It's all about mercy. It's all about his love for you. You don't owe God one thing because he paid the debt. You know, that reminds me of a song we used to sing, Neva, back when I first got saved in the Charismatic Renewal.
Jesus paid it all.
That's a good one, but that's not the one I'm thinking of, but that's a good one. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sin away. Hope I can remember this. Da 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 da. Anyway, but he paid a debt he did not. Oh, it's Bill Gaither wrote that song, I think. He paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. But yet, God took upon himself the responsibility for all of our shortcomings and our sin and Adam's sin that put all this upon us. I used to say this jokingly, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to punch Adam out. I don't say it anymore. Because, you know, through one man's sin, Adam, death reigned, and death by sin. For that all have sinned. That's in Romans chapter 5. Anyway, I don't say that much anymore. So those are the four facts of redemption. So let's go back to the first one. Number one, the Father has no favorites. Every person born into his family has the same redemption, rights, privileges, and status. I like to say this a lot. And it's good to say this, and we can all say this. Since God has no favorites, I'm his favorite. I am his favorite. Monica, you're his favorite. You're his favorite. Neva, you're his favorite. I'm his favorite because he has no favorites. And let's read that in the Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 15. And the way that that's expressed here in Romans chapter 1 is that he has extended his love and his grace and his redemption of us to everybody. He's not just done it. He didn't just do it, even though he created the Hebrews and the Jewish race to preserve the seed that Jesus could come, because he said, I'm going to bruise your head by the seed of the woman. Okay. But, and that was where Abram became Abraham and circumcision and all that business. Okay. And sorry, or Sarai, however you want to pronounce it. I prefer sorry, but anyway, became Sarah, and he became the father of many nations. So, but he didn't just extend it to the Jews. He extended it to all of humanity. We're going to find out. It's the Word of God's going to tell us that, okay? Look here in Romans chapter 14. Look what Paul says. Now, let's go with verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So Paul's saying, I'm not prejudiced towards anybody. I'm going to take this to anybody. That's what he's saying. Now look what he says here. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's read verse 16 again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel of Christ. Now, as you read through Paul's letters, he even calls it his gospel. And that we're going to be judged by, he says, you'll be judged by my gospel. Because the gospel that Paul preached was one that had never been preached in the fullness prior to his ministry. It never had. Because he says this, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, whereby the mystery was revealed unto me that heretofore nobody had ever known. No, you know, and I say this all the time, but Monica, the disciples, they had no clue. Matthew chapter 16, you know, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Talking to Peter. And Peter says, well, some say you're, you know, Elias, you know, some say you're John the Baptist. And Jesus says to Peter, he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, well, you're the Son of the living God. You're Jesus, you know. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Four verses later, Jesus is going on. He's telling him about, okay, so I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put to death. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Not so. And what does Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. So that tells me that Peter, he had the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God, but he had no clue about what was getting ready to happen. He had no clue what it meant in Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. No clue. No clue. And that is evidenced by the way they acted. They all denied him. I mean, Peter gets the rap, you know, because he was audacious enough to say, well, I'll never deny you, Lord. You know, I love you, Lord. And then Jesus said, yes, you will. Yeah, you will. And for the cock crows three times, you're gonna deny me, okay? And so we know that he did. And one account of it is that one of those times after he denied the Lord the last time, Jesus looked at him. And then he wept, and he cried, and he ran. Have you ever seen that painting where the guy paints that, where Jesus is looking at Peter? Ooh, man, it's good. Anyway, so Peter denied him, but so did the rest of the disciples. They ran and hid. It was Mary Magdalene who believed. She's the one that went to the tomb. And even when she went back, at first they said, no, he's not. He's not raised from the dead. So they had no clue. So the gospel that Paul preached revealed the mystery. It revealed what God did in Christ for all of us, okay? And the first thing that it, one of the things it reveals that God is no respecter of persons. And let's read on here. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not to just select persons, not to Baptists, not to Pentecostals, not to Catholics, not to Jehovah's Witnesses, not to Jews, not to whatever, not to Presbyterians, but to anyone that would believe. To anyone that message produces faith in, that person can be born again and experience the power of God. So he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, this is where the power is manifested. This is where the power comes from. For therein what? The gospel that Paul preaches. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, okay? I'm going to quote 2 Corinthians 5:21 to you again. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, when you go and read through Paul's letters, you find out that righteousness has two forms. It is credited, that's told us in Romans chapter 4 and 5, where it's credited to your account, okay? That's what imputed means. He says it was imputed to Abraham. Righteousness was imputed to Abraham because of his belief. All of the Old Testament saints that lived in faith and believed, look, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, they're looking for a city whose maker is God, you know, so on and so forth, like Abraham and Sarah and Elijah and Elisha and Moses and Rahab the harlot and even Adam and Eve and all these people, okay? Noah. Enoch, all these people, Solomon, David, Bathsheba, all of them, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all of them who believed God, but yet they could not receive the promise because Jesus had not died as their substitute, but righteousness was credited to their account so that when that account could be paid, they get it. Okay? Let me explain it to you this way. I know somebody who is believing God to get out of debt. Their faith is out there. And they have two forms of debt. They have their mortgage and they have their consumer debt. It's a true story. This just happened. And that individual was approached by another Christian, a very wealthy person, said, let me back up. This individual and this individual's wife are believers, okay? And they're wealthy, and they have the means to bless other people. And about 6 months ago, the man, the Lord began to deal with him. I want you to pay off this person's mortgage. He said, no, I don't know if I want to do that, because it was $35,000. A lot of money. And so